Is respect something we should be desiring? You know, Rodney Dangerfield, it was on his mind. He could get no respect. If you remember him as a comedian, he was always saying, "I get no respect." So I've titled the message today, Love and Respect. And is love and respect important to God? And I think we could say that it is. And if it is, it should also be important to us. So today, I would just like to try to do what I can to touch on this huge topic of love and respect. I mean, people desire, I mean, there's many people that desire to know what love and respect are. There are a number of books, you can go online, talking about love and respect. Dr. Emerson Eggerichs, I think most of us maybe have heard of him if you've read the book, Love and Respect. It says here that he's an international known public speaker on male and female relationships based on over 30 years of pastoring. So that was, I'm just going to interject here, pastoring, doing his best, hopefully doing his best to help people to see what they need to see to make changes in their life. But pastoring, is God behind what he's doing? All right, I'm not here to answer for God. Today I want to look in the scriptures what God's word says, okay? But he's pastoring. And we know that unless God changes our core, our nature, now, we can look at scriptures, we can look at definitions, we can try to implement them into our lives. But if we're not keeping God's holy days, if we're not hearing the words of Jesus Christ and putting them into practice, it's not a deep understanding of knowing what love and respect are. So he talks about he's a counselor studying biblical and scientific research. Mr. Eggerichs and his wife Sarah developed a Love and Respect conference, and they present to live audiences around the country. Now, I went online looking for comments on this book, Love and Respect. Many comments. I actually printed a number of them out and decided just to toss them in the garbage can, not to bring them. A lot of them were not very good comments. There was another writer who wrote that love and respect, that men must be respected as much as they need air, and women need to be loved as much as they need air. And the only way a man can love his wife is if he is respected. So there was a number of comments like that. And there was, they even didn't like what Paul had written. So people have their opinions. One man summed up, after a number of probably 50 comments, summed up. He said, "This is what I learned from the book. I learned that men and women both need love and respect." And that's true. But the reason why he was doing it was to get something from his wife. As you're reading it, says, "Hey, because I'm doing this, I'm getting more of this and more of that, and I don't have to ask for this anymore." It's like, I'm scratching her back and she's scratching my back. That's not God's concept. We don't do things to get something. Some try to articulate love and respect based on their understanding, but is it accurate? Now, some things that you can look up and say, "Hey, you know, there's some helpful hints, you know, tell your wife you love her. Tell your husband you love him." Okay? But there's a deeper meaning to that. The people of God, God says, I read this quite often, Psalm 111, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Okay, so the fear of God. God created us. He made us perfectly. I know that he can give life and he can take life. That's the beginning of wisdom. But there's more than that. He says, a good understanding have all those who do. A good understanding are all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. So, can a religious scholar, even someone who's very intellect, a lot of knowledge, as Mr. Tuck talked about in his letter, they say war is good. They have their words, they have their knowledge, but unless they're doing the will of God, they do not have complete understanding. Satan is very cunning, and he can mislead us. He will mislead us if we allow him. So how can, I just asked the question, Dr. Emerson Igaritz, understand love and respect if he's not doing God's commandments? Now, he may be putting love and respect into practice the way he can, and you can learn some ways and some concepts, don't get me wrong, but I'm going to turn over to Ephesians chapter 5 real quick. Ephesians 5, verse 30, Paul talks about in that chapter about relationships between a man and a woman, relationships in a marriage, what each should be doing. But he also says in verse 25, I forgot to write that down, Ephesians 5, he talks about, that the church is subject to Christ, and he talks about this being a great mystery. Marriage being a great mystery. As you start in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, and go to verse 33. And in verse 33, he says, nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself. And let the wife see that she respects her husband. Verse 32, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So the world, unless they understand obedience to God's law, understand the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that the law shows us that we sin and that we need to be saved through a Savior, and to continue in this conversion process, you will not get the depth and meaning of this understanding. I think you can read different things and you can get a number of different, I would say, definitions from a concept. I think someone recently said, my husband read this, I read this, and we came up with, on respect, and we came up with two different definitions. What is respect? Good question. Great question. I want to look at that from the Word of God today. Faith comes from where? Where does faith come from? I have faith in this, I have faith in that, but what does living faith come from? What is faith that's going to give you a right way to live and hopefully the gift of eternal life? Where does that come from? Does it come from the book Love and Respect? Does it come from all these other books that people write, many, many books? Well, Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Comes from the Bible. Comes from hearing the Word of God. Now, sometimes we will read other books, and we'll get professing commentaries, diving into this, and Sometimes it can make it helpful, but we got to be careful. Do they have God's Holy Spirit? Some of those commentators, most of those commentators will say the Holy Spirit is a third person. But yet we're listening to their commentary. And we'll take that as gospel, and we try to put that into our life. And then we think that, well, they're teaching this, and I'm listening to this, and I think we believe the same thing. Satan is very good at that, getting us off track. Did Jesus Christ come to be served? Just ask that question. Because a lot of these self-made books are like, okay, this is, you got to do this for this person, you got to do this for this person, and then you're going to get what you want. Did Jesus Christ come to be respected? The first time, his first coming, did he come to be respected? Or did he come to preach the gospel word and to be killed for teaching the truth? Do men need to be respected to be able to love their wives? They don't. And we will go through that. Jesus Christ in Luke 22:26, you know, says, don't lord it over people. Don't lord it over people as leaders. He says, and I'm teaching you. He's teaching his disciples. I don't want this to be among you. I want it to be on the contrary. To he who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger. In other words, be as a young individual, a little lad that shows respect to everyone. Whether they're honest or dishonest, you show respect to everyone. Be as the younger. Don't be looking that you need to be respected. You show that respect. And he who governs, high authority, serve. Don't look for others to serve and honor you. Hopefully they will honor your words and put them into practice, but do not look for that you have to be respected, that you have to be loved, to be able to respect someone else, to be able to love someone else, because that's not what Jesus Christ did. He loved old people. He respected old people. And we are all sinners. So what is the definition? You can go online and you can look up the word respect and say, what is the definition of respect? You can go into love and respect. What is the definition of love? What is the definition of respect? But what is the definition, and we could go into all that, and I'm not going to. But what is the definition of respect from the Bible? Okay. And when we hear the word respect in the Bible, it's going to be not something that we should write it down, put in our mind, and we should think about it. We should meditate on it. We should strive to put it into action. And you can look up respect. You'll get different Greek meanings. You're going to get a few different Hebrew meanings. But what it comes down to, okay, it's reverence, venerate, in other words, to regard with great respect. Jesus Christ regarded every human being with great respect. We are to have the mind of Christ. Doesn't matter what they do as far as regarding respect. So treat people with deference, meaning a humble submission and respect. Reverence is a deep sense of respect for people. It's a recognition that everyone has worth. So we got to be careful how we treat them. Christ even says, love your enemies. It's an acknowledgement of their rights. Every person has rights to have or receive certain privileges. You don't have a right to tell someone they're a moron. You don't have a right to tell someone you're an idiot. Christ set the example. They do have privileges. They do have rights. But it should all be based on the Word of God. None of us are perfect. We all sin. But respect, as I said, is used in several applications of the Bible. It's actually several, many, many. There are different applications of respect in Scripture, but it is based on the two great commandments. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, and the law and the prophets. We don't leave anything out. First John chapter 1, that chapter, says that if you want to have a relationship with God, you want to have your sins forgiven, right? You have to be baptized and receive God's Holy Spirit, as it tells us in Romans and other places. But it says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, as you get into that chapter, it says we must be walking as the Father walks. You're walking as the Father walks. Have respect for him. And then it says, if you want the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse you from your sins, make sure your relationship is right with your brother and sister. Or, if you're not walking with God, you're not having a relationship with your brother and sister, you're not respecting them, you're not honoring them, your sins won't be forgiven. And it tells us how to purify ourselves. But respect is used in several places and applications of the Bible, such as how to respect the Father, how to respect Jesus Christ, how to respect the covenant that we're in, how to respect the marriage that we're in, how to respect a priest, how we respect one another, submitting one to another, as parents, as children, as how you respect a widow. Paul tells us how you respect a widow who's a true widow. Okay, so that type of respect doesn't refer to me. I'm not a widow. But this respect application is applied in a number of different ways. It's applied to the orphan, a brother who sins, an employer to an employee, a pastor to a member, a member to a pastor, a member to a member. We are all to submit to God's authority, look for his instruction, and it's all here. Right? Faith comes by hearing the word of God, as we discussed. And this all involves love and respect. We don't need to be looking for another book from someone else that could get us off in the weeds. God is love. And if we love God, we're going to obey his law. And we're going to put all this love and respect into practice. Be worthy of respect. I'm just going to read some scriptures. Be worthy of respect. So we as people need to be worthy. Jesus Christ was worthy of respect, but he wasn't always respected by many. Those who teach the word of God from the pulpit, and even you, be worthy of respect when you're teaching the word of God. 1 Thessalonians 5:13. I just want to read these. I don't have time to go turn to them. It says, and to esteem. Esteem here, you look that up, means respect. Them very highly in love and their work's sake. Be at peace amongst yourself. So those who are teaching God's word says respect them or esteem them very highly in love. Respect in love. So why? So that you can have peace. Don't talk bad about God's ministry, his teachers. You know, in regards to the older men, Paul's telling Timothy in Titus chapter 2, verse 2, says that the older men should be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, and in patience. Is it just the older men? No, Paul was calling out. You know, Timothy, when you go, you know, these older men, you're young, you know, don't be intimidated by them. It's for everyone. It's for everyone. But Paul addresses certain situations in Scripture. It's not just the older men. Paul addresses that with all of us. What about those not deserving of respect? Should we show them respect? Well, just a minute. Who says that no one is deserving of respect? Who said that? What book said that? Where'd you hear that? Well, you didn't hear that from God. You didn't hear that from the Word of God, because everyone deserves respect. 1 Peter 2:17 says, honor, which means respect, all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king, or respect the king. What? Respect Mr. Biden? What? Respect Mr. Trump? Respect all people. Psalm 40 verse 4 says, blessed is that man who makes the Lord his trust. We trust in God? You want to hear his word? And does not respect the proud. Right? You don't respect their actions. You love the sinner. You hate the sin. We've heard that many times. Nor such as turn aside to lies. Okay, all right, we're not going to speak evil. That's between them and God. And we're going to talk about this. I'm going to show you an example in just a little bit. Again, honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Respect, respect, respect. Respect even an unrighteous king. What does God and Jesus Christ ultimately desire? Among the body of Christ? What comes to mind? What does God and Jesus Christ ultimately desire among the body of Christ? I'll give you a hint. You probably already know, but what's Mr. Shaby, what's been his theme? And coming to all the ministers. Yeah. Jesus Christ died for this. This is the message that the Father brought. John chapter 17, Jesus Christ says, I pray that these may be one as we are one. So it's important to be as one as who? As they are one. Do you ever see them divided? See any division? Jesus Christ has a will. The Father has a will. Jesus Christ shows us that in Scripture. Take this cup away from me, but not my will, your will. Jesus Christ said when he was teaching the word, I didn't come to do my will. I came to bring the Father's will. This is the Father's message. I'm bringing it to you. And he says, how is he going to set his people apart? By his truth. What's in here? Set them apart by your truth. As opposed to divisions, right? Opposed to divisions. Christ said, you know, I mean, Satan is part of this world. He's dividing. He's conquering. God is just the opposite. Romans 12:4 says, for as we have many members, not just here, wherever they may be at, in one body. But all the members do not have the same function. Some of the members want to be the minister. Some want to be the deacon. And this causes controversy. This causes division. So much to the point that, you know what, if I can't get it here, I'm going to go start my own, or I'm going to go over there. We do not have the same function. God has put us where we're at. And he loves the brethren that he put ministry in charge to care, to love, to nurture his body. And we have a huge responsibility if we to do it, and if we don't do it, if we offend one of these little ones by our actions, it would be better for a millstone to be wrapped around our neck and throw it into the sea than to offend, to mislead you. At one, you look that up in the Greek, is to be united most closely. Most closely in will and in spirit. Jesus Christ submitted to do the Father's will. He was God in the flesh, never sinned, sat with the Father at his right side, surrendered his will to come down, to be on this earth, to suffer, to teach, to be persecuted. You know. So to be at one as they are is not just by reading John chapter 17 or reading in Corinthians, or it's reading it, meditating on it, seeking to understand it, and having the commitment after being called and receiving God's Holy Spirit. Right? Because before you're being called, God gives you the gift of faith. And he gives you the gift of repentance. Then you become baptized, you pray that, minister prays that the Holy Spirit, that you might receive it. And God knows your heart. Right? Ministry can only do so much. We do our best and pray, and sometimes even fast. And we see that it looks like that is there, but God knows the heart. But then when you have that, you reciprocate God's way of life with more faith, more repentance, more action, having this perfect mindset, desiring to do the will of God, to be at one with him and his son and with one another. And we strive to do that, being obedient to God in all things. Jesus Christ set us the example. He actually set us many examples. It's like being in an orchestra, in harmony. You see, an orchestra, no matter how big it is or how small it is, as we are in the congregation, we have order, we're all singing together, harmonizing together. Let's see if I... look at my definition of respect. Okay, that's going to come up again. Okay, so harmonizing. What does harmony have to do with love and respect? Well, let's look at some scriptures. Because it's used. This word harmony is used. Harmony is used to help things go well, right? People singing in harmony, singing in tune. You know, best friends should be in harmony, right? If they want to stay best friends. You look at the world, right? If you want to be best friends, stay in harmony. In music, harmony is pleasing. It's a pleasing combination and progression of chords. If it makes you wince, well, then it's... someone's out of not in harmony. It's lacking harmony. Synonyms for harmony include accord. Where have you heard that word accord? Be of one accord, of one mind. Concord, cooperation, like-mindedness, unanimous. On the other hand, antonyms range from clash, disagreement, to discord. So what does it mean to be in harmony with God? What does Scripture say? Now, people need to be at one with God from this book. Because Scripture says in 2 Corinthians 6:15, it says, what accord? And that word accord means harmony. What accord has Christ with Baal? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? We, brethren, are not to be a part of another believer, of another denomination that believes in the Trinity, that maybe be keeping Sunday, even if they're keeping Saturday, they don't keep the holy days, to teach us the Word of God. We need to get that. We need to understand there's too many of us that believe that we are the Christian denomination. We need to protect. I mean, they're trying to do what's right. Don't get me wrong. And we have all come out of that. And you have to come out of something, right? So it's not meaning that they can't come out of that. That's up to God. God does the calling, John 6:44. But if they stay with that, we can't just say, okay, you're staying with that. You don't see that. Got to be careful. Got to be careful. God leads us. How? Through His Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit leads us. Who are the sons of God? Those who are led by His Holy Spirit. Tells us that in Scripture. 2 Corinthians 13:11, Paul says, finally, brethren, he's saying farewell. I want you to become complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. And that word there, mind, means harmony. Be of harmony. Don't be out of tune. You're all singing here. I don't want anyone to be wincing because they're not following. Here, he uses the word harmony. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Romans 14:9. Therefore, let us pursue the things, that statement, harmony, which make for peace. Harmony makes for peace. And the things by which one may edify another. Romans 8:27. Now, he who searches the hearts knows the mind of the Spirit is, because it makes intercession for the saints according, which means harmony, to the will of God. Harmony. Romans 12:16, be of the same mind, be of the harmony of the Word of God, putting it into practice. Toward one another, do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Romans 15:5, now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded, harmonious, be in harmony toward one another, according or joined to Jesus Christ, that you may be of one mind and one mouth and harmony. See, when we are obeying God and we're living God's ways and we're respecting one another and we're putting into practice what God says we need to be doing and we can learn what we need to be doing, it's a continual thing, we're in harmony. Beautiful orchestra. And God's Holy Spirit leads us to this. We're coming up on Pentecost next week, Sunday. It's not that we're going to receive the Pentecost on Sunday. We already have it for those who are baptized and God has given it. We have it every day. We're told to stir it up, to put it into practice. But we keep this day as a reminder because it's commanded in Leviticus chapter 23. But here Acts, hit a couple verses here. Acts 2 verse 1, and in this word harmony, harmony. Being of one mind. How many of us are of one mind? We have to ask ourselves in our relationship with one another and with God. Were we in harmony this past week? If not, we need to get back into being in harmony. But here, Acts chapter 2, verse 1, as they're waiting for the Holy Spirit, the day of Pentecost had fully come. They were with one accord in one place. They were with one harmony. It's talking about harmony. Acts 2:46. So continuing daily with one accord, being in harmony, one accord, harmony, in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. They're willing to follow God. It's okay, this is what we're going to do. They had the right mindset. Harmony, unity, no division. It's interesting, as a sidebar, you know, in James it says, in James 5:13 it says, anyone among you suffering? Pray. Is anyone cheerful? Well, what is he hopefully we're cheerful for? God's way of life. Well, let him sing psalms. Oh, psalms of the Bible. Unity, harmony. Sing in honor of God. David did. Ephesians 5, the end of verse 18 says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Then verse 19 says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making medley in your heart to the Lord. Harmony. The words that promote harmony. Making melody, Romans 15, 7 through 13. Singing also to be clear in your words, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, 15. Be clear in your words. Don't be rattling on. You know, don't let people know how intelligent you are. By, look what all this I know, I'm going to speak, and you're not even going to understand it. He says, do that in word, do that in song. Harmony. We've been called to be in harmony, to have the mindset with God's Holy Spirit, to be guided by His Word. We don't have harmony if we're not going to put it into practice. I think we know that. When you think of God, when you think of your mate, when you think of your brother or sister or your neighbor, how do you feel? Do you feel harmony or discord? Maybe you just had a big fight with someone. Maybe your neighbor dumped some trash in your yard or whatever. How do you feel? Are you at peace? Comfort? Do you have love? Admiration? Do you have love and respect? You know what? Jesus Christ told us to turn the other cheek. Or maybe we have discord, maybe with resentment and dissatisfaction. That happens sometimes, hopefully only a few times, but it happens because we're human, we make mistakes. But when there is discord in our lives, in our actions, God expects us to get out of that state of mind and get back into the state of mind of harmony, to have His mindset, to be with Him, to be working on that. So as Lem said in his sermonette, ask God anything in my name, I will do it. Do what? The will of God. God wants us to be at one with one another. He wants us to be at one in our relationships with one another. Because our attitude toward one another informs our attitude toward people and God. Because our attitude toward one another informs our attitude towards God. If we're not loving one another, then we're not loving God. Scripture says that when you love God, you love your neighbor. And when you love your neighbor, you love God. It has to do with love and respect. We don't have to be searching anywhere else. What is respect? So when you love and respect each other, when you honor each other, you're actually honoring and respecting God. But as crucial as this commandment is, keeping it is hard. And I really feel for all the people in the world that are striving to keep it and struggle and commit suicide because they can't keep it because they do not have God's Holy Spirit. And that happens. They become so frustrated they can't make changes in their life. And we need to sigh and cry for what's going on in the world. Now, there are people that have a religion to their own that figure these certain things out that work for them, okay? But it doesn't, and that is good. At least they're striving for that, right? But brethren, we have a deeper understanding that love and respect are foundational, and we need the Word of God to guide us and to implement it in us. They are the ones who are living in us. They're the ones who get the glory, right? Because it says in John 17, towards there, it's like, so that the Father may be glorified. If we're not being led by His Holy Spirit, putting that into practice, then we're taking the glory. Now, I made that statement earlier that God doesn't have a definition that certain people should not be respected. That is not from his words. And God's plan has a lot to do with helping us overcome our shortcomings, which extend to all people. And it begins in the family. Adam and Eve were married. God had started a family with Adam and Eve. And again, it's not about, well, you scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. That's not what Jesus Christ came to teach. He sacrificed his life while we were still sinners. And over, the Bible shows us that God wants us to learn to love and to love his ways and seek to put them into action. The fifth commandment says, honor your father and your mother. What can we learn from that regarding love and respect? I'm going to back up a minute. I have more notes than I have time for, but just real quick, what can we learn from that? What did the children of the Israelites, when they came out of Egypt, right? They came out of Egypt, Israel disobeyed God. God loved them, He cared for them, He fed them, He helped them. He was doing everything. But Israel did what? Nah, don't want to listen. They continued in sin. And God finally said, you know what? I'm putting my foot down. All those from 20 years and older who came out of Egypt are going to die in the wilderness. You're going to wander around for 40 years, except for Joshua and Caleb. That was fulfilled. So here you have Moses telling the children, right, giving them commandments, right, I was working with them, honor your father and your mother. What? Honor your father and your mother. You just killed them. They all died. What can we learn from that? You know, you have commentary and you have history, which I think history is always good. Commentary, look back at history, facts. And that's always good to be looking at to get some understanding in that situation. But when you see the word honor your father and your mother. Trying to look, I had the Hebrew word written down. And the Hebrew word, oh, here it is kavod, if I'm saying that right, K-A-V-O-D, which comes from the word for weight, and particularly and typically refers to something heavy. That's heavy. God, you're telling us to honor our father and mother? That's heavy. That's hard to understand. You know, sometimes we hear things, well, that's heavy. We made that comment sometimes. That's heavy. That's hard to understand. Our parents were disobedient. You allowed them to die in the wilderness because of disobedience. And now Moses is telling us to honor our father and our mother. So that would be heavy, right? How do we don't understand. The word honor also means respect, also means reverence. And put into action from history, what the Jews would do were teach and show that their children, specifically the son, must neither stand in the father's place, don't try to take his role, nor tip the scales against him in an argument with others. Respect him. Honor, also they say, means that a son or daughter must give him, provide him food, drink, clothe, cover him, tend to him in and out of the house. Even if they're not displaying godliness. We as a physical family have the same responsibility to care for one another. Spiritual family, we have the same care. Family shares in the commonality that reflects positively on others. Why? Because our parents are responsible for bringing us into this world. So God is saying, hey, yeah, they died for disobedience, but they're responsible for bringing you into this world. And we honor them, how? By living righteously. We honor them by living righteously, whether they're alive or whether they're dead. Because the words that they taught you, even though they may have not always lived it, depending on how your situation, you still honor them by living by this book. We can make them responsible and show them honor by bringing good into the world through our actions. That shows respect. When you honor God and live as an example of righteousness, you honor your parents by association. And when you honor your parents as God commands us to do, you also honor God, which also means respect, love and respect. God plans to have a family. I think we know that. We understand the plan of salvation and how that's working. And he brings us to life, right? Starting from Adam and Eve. And our parents fulfilled a part of that plan by having life. And that plan included you here today. And your parents who are who he worked through to get you here. We're going to respect that. After honoring and respecting your father and your mother, the rest of the commandment reads, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Now, it's not that sometimes we say, okay, it's a commandment with promise. You obey, God's going to give you a long life. Right? A lot of people live long lives and have never obeyed God. But it's the understanding. It's these words that we're reading that are ingrained in our minds that we can keep implementing into our lives, that no matter how long we live, we're putting it into practice. That your life is best served and most fulfilled when? When you obey God's commandments. That brings peace. So when you think of your parents, how do you feel? We can get back on track. Get back on track. Because suffering, or I would say honoring, respecting, is part of suffering for righteousness' sake. That's what God said. Jesus Christ set the example. Many examples in the Bible. Suffering for doing what's right and not getting off track and not being respectful. Because honor is hard to come by these days. We don't see very much respect. See a lot of slander, a lot of insults, defamation. But remember, Peter was inspired to write, honor all people, respect all people. Respect all people. We see how bad it's getting in the world. You don't believe what I say? They're ready to kill you. Must respect that individual. Love the person, hate the sin. How would you respond? How will we respond as we get closer to the end time, as things increase? It's important to help raise others' morale and confidence by showing them respect. Always show respect to all races, to all ages, economic backgrounds, and social status. Everyone appreciates being respected. Yes, we're going to have issues with other people, but we all need to be learning to respect one another. It's important. I'm not perfect. I tell my wife, I'm not perfect. I'm sorry. I want to get back on the right track. But we can look at the good, and we work on that, and we move forward. That's a good thing. And we see cases where parents are very disrespectful for their children. It's not a good thing. But children, if your parents are disrespectful to you, you're still to be respectful to them, because that's what the scripture says. Pray to God. Have a relationship. Be open. Talk about it. Just don't honor those evil actions. Don't respect those evil actions. Don't make an excuse and say, I'm going this way because they're doing that. That gives you no... The Bible doesn't say to do that. The Bible tells us to do the opposite. It's from this book. It's important to show respect in our lives. It's important to show honor in our lives with our family members and with one another. To have and show love and respect, we need to realize that we are all made in the image of God. God made every single person, regardless of their skin color, their ethnic origin. Always look for the good in others. Always look for the good in others. You're driving down the street, you see someone, oh, I just didn't ignore them. Oh, I don't know that person. Hey, wave to them, say hi. Always look for the good in others instead of focusing on their faults. Listen with our ears, listen with our eyes, listen with our core, our heart. Be of one accord, harmonizing. Speak uplifting words. Be courteous and mannerly. These are things that we could be thinking about, no matter what people do to us. Jesus Christ, when they attacked him, he would let them finish speaking. Where do you see him interrupting? He would answer their questions, and sometimes he wouldn't say anything. But we can always speak uplifting words. We can be courteous. We can be mannerly. We can think that this person has a great human potential just as I have. And one day God is going to open their eyes. So we can do good things to others. We can pray to have graciousness from God towards others. That's something we'd be praying about. That's what God, Christ, would want. So we are to love God and we are to love one another. We're called to be in harmony, right? Which is about love and respect. Harmonizing, being of one accord, one mind. This includes practicing love and respect by honoring all. And remember, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that those who believe on him might, you know, that gift, can receive eternal life if we fulfill the purpose that God has called us to. He expects us to reciprocate that love. Just do it. As I'm demonstrating love, my son is teaching you what love is. He's showing you the commandments. He's showing these things. You need to overcome your stubbornness and put it into practice. And I'm showing you how to do it. You need to give up all rights to yourself. Jesus Christ did it. Love one another, regardless of how we're treated. I think that's the one thing that we can get from the message. So let's be like our Heavenly Father. Jesus Christ was. And let's show respect and honor to God the Father, to one another, as His Word teaches us to love one another as they love us.